E-A-R.
You touch a key and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? Log on to the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now, in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner, broadcasting live from the palatial downtown, midtown, uptown, whatever town studios of News Radio 620 KTAR, broadcasting across the web and in archival form.
Absolutely.
So anybody and everybody that's out there that has an internet connection, hello to you.
Hello to you through our website, datadoctors.com. You can click on the links from the radio show page and find those things.
Correct. This week's theme on this here fine show is we're talking all about digital music downloads and how to do it safely and where to do it. The top companies out there, we've got these lists on our website there in the radio show section. iTunes clearly is going to be the leader, mainly because of the popularity of the iPod. And frankly, if you have an iPod and you want to buy music online, if you want to make it simple, stick to the iTunes store and just buy your music from there. That's the library is about as big as it gets. It's about 99 cents a song. If you have a non-iPod portable, your choices actually are quite a bit more diverse if you still want to keep it simple.
In fact, you can even stick with the iPod for almost every other player. Excuse me, not the iPod. iTunes. You can use the iTunes program for lots and lots of other MP3 players other than iPods.
Now, there is a new feature, a new service being offered by a lot of these companies, including Napster, which, by the way, Napster is now a legal entity legally selling music. Yes. How do you like that? Sean Fanning,
yeah.
Dorm Room, loses the company, they buy the name, and now they're selling music legally for what was the most notorious download illegal wave.
It wasn't Sean Fanning. It was that guy from that other movie where he wanted to be called the Napster.
Yeah.
Remember that dumb movie? What was that movie?
It's his name, Wes.
I don't know.
The Italian Job.
Exactly, yeah.
So anyway.
I want to be called the Napster.
There are legal download services, what they call subscription services, where you pay a flat rate every month. And it's all you can download, but you pay every month.
It's like a buffet of music.
It is a buffet. Now, what you have to understand in a lot of cases when you're doing that, when you're doing the subscription service, you're literally renting or leasing the music. And what happens at the end of a rental or lease period when you stop paying?
You got to return it.
Or
they send somebody out after you to repo it.
You no longer have use of that.
You mean it expires?
They have a way to make it disappear from your computer.
How do they do that?
It's magical and stuff.
It's like those messages from Mission Impossible where they would self-destruct after listening to them.
Well, actually, I think they have a time machine and they come and scrub your hard drive in the middle of the night when you don't know it or something.
They have DeLoreans.
Something.
Stainless steel ones.
So be very careful about the service you choose to join in on so that you don't end up with... Well, now that I have this huge collection, in order to be able to maintain it, I got to keep paying or I'm going to lose it all. Not a good situation.
Wow.
Hey, we got free open phone lines here, 602-277-5827, a rarity. Hey, before we go to the news, before we do all this other stuff, let's get Carl on. Carl's got, I was talking to him off the air, he's got a Windows XP Pro and a Windows 2000 machine. And Carl, you wanted to kind of go back in time, didn't you?
Yeah, I want to go back to the 2000.
You want to take your Windows XP machine, XP Pro, and you want to convert it to Windows 2000, but there's a small, little, wee, tiny caveat, isn't there?
Yes, I'm backstepping, I guess they call it.
Yeah,
backgrade.
Right, but there's stuff on that machine you don't want to lose.
Exactly. I don't want to start all over again and start fresh. I want to keep everything I have. I just want to change the operating system from XP Pro to 2000 Pro.
Well, you can save all of your data and be able to kind of go downgrade to Windows 2000, but you're not going to be able to save all of your programs because Microsoft, as well as most every other operating system or every other program on the planet, allows you to go up in versions but never go backwards in versions.
Well, there's some other issues that we probably need to make sure you're clear on as well. Now, do you use your Windows XP Pro more than you do your 2000, or what's the differences in the two?
No, I use them both the same. Basically, I have 2001 system just to see what actually the differences are in performance of between the two.
Have you loaded exactly the same programs on both machines, the same version, same everything, or is there a possibility the XP Pro has more stuff installed on it than the 2000 machine?
XP has more stuff. The only thing I have that's similar on both systems are the antivirus and all the, what do you call those?
Those security programs. Software and all that
security,
stuff.
Yeah,
spyware,
identical.
Adware. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. The more stuff you install on any computer, it doesn't matter what version of Windows, it doesn't matter if it's an Apple, it doesn't matter what it is, the more stuff you install, the more likelihood you're going to have problems. And it goes up exponentially. Think of it this way. If you have two people on a committee, it's pretty easy to get through and resolve issues and what have you, right?
Right.
Add a third person, it gets a little tougher. But as you add people, now you get into 10 or 20 people on that committee, the problems become exponential and almost impossible to ever resolve because there's always somebody out there saying, no, I don't like this. That's essentially what happens on today's computers if you're not careful.
Where I think Ken's going with this is that your reason for wanting to go back to Windows 2000 is you think that it'll give you better performance, but statistics show and facts show that that actually isn't the case.
Okay, basically I'm looking for stability. I'm losing stability in XP.
Right.
Whereas 2000, it seems to be much more stable.
But you're thinking it's the operating system instead of looking at the other pieces that are there, which is you have a lot more stuff in your Windows XP machine. So
if you had done everything to the Windows 2000 machine you did to the XP, I mean everything identical,
yeah.
Chances are that stability that you're counting on would not be there.
Generally speaking, Windows XP is as stable, if not more stable, than Windows 2000. It is the most installed operating system that businesses use probably anywhere on the planet, but for sure in the United States.
And there's two other issues, too. How old is this machine that Windows XP Pro is on?
They're both. One is a 64-bit AMD, and the other one's a Pentium 4.
No. How old are they?
I built them both myself within the year.
Okay. I was going to say, because if they're name brand product, you got a warranty issue, and ultimately you have a bigger issue in that Windows 2000's support is going to be dropped much quicker than Windows XP Pro.
You started to say that one of them was a 64-bit?
Yes, AMD.
Well, it's an AMD 64.
AMD 64.
Yeah, you're just talking about an AMD processor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which one's which?
The 2000 is AMD 64.
And then the Intel's the Windows XP Pro, right?
Exactly.
So since there's not an easy way to do what you want to do, and since our assumption is the reason you're there is because you put too much stuff on, probably more than you needed, or you're getting conflicts from all the stuff that's in there, what do you think the best way to go is from moving forward here? You still want to, because there's really no way to do what you want to do without wiping the drive out and reinstalling from scratch, which even if that was not your only option, that would be the option we'd recommend, because all you're going to do is take the garbage and junk that you have and just roll it forward or backwards into another operating system.
Okay, now when you say the stuff on one system is too much, do you mean the stuff that's running or whatever is even in a storage?
We're making a huge guess that the stability issues that you're having have nothing to do with the operating system. It has more to do with what's installed or something else.
Like, go into your add and remove programs and just do a simple count of how many things are installed in the XP Pro machine and how many things are installed in Windows 2000. Whether they're running in the background or not is insignificant from the standpoint of each program that you install makes modifications to your registry, which makes your machine take longer to start up every time in the morning. Then there are actual little, what they call DLL files, these little dynamic link libraries that get installed by these programs, and there are tens of thousands of these. And a lot of programs use the same DLLs. And so one program installs its version of the DLL that it wants, which is older than another program that needs. You see what I'm saying? You get this conglomeration of stuff, and if you'd have just kept it simple,
you would bog down. In other words,
if you were my Uncle Carl, I would say, "Hey, Uncle Carl,
Uncle Carl, how are you, buddy?"
Because I like your Uncle Carl, but I don't want you to call me all the time. I would feel very comfortable installing Windows XP and cleaning up your machine that you have, and feel that would probably be a pretty stable solution. And wouldn't recommend to you at all and wouldn't even advise you or wouldn't even do it for you, take you back in time to Windows 2000.
And the reason we know all this, we now have about 40 locations throughout the United States. And guess what we do almost every single day? We take people like you that are in the situation you're in, and without you having to reinstall everything, we can manually go in and just clean all that stuff out and make the machine operate like it should operate by getting rid of all the stuff that you don't need. It's a very long, it's like having your car detailed.
Yeah.
You probably haven't had this computer detailed And that's what our specialty is. We've been doing this for 17 years. We learned a long time ago these quick fixes, these make this error message go away, these Band-Aid fixes that are common in our industry, they don't fix a problem. They just prolong the agony.
And defragging the system doesn't make it...
That's not going to help one bit.
That's like spraying the undercoating on your car.
No, here's the perfect analogy. You're reorganizing the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah.
It's
but it's still going down.
Right. Yeah, unless you change course.
I like your analogy.
Yeah, well, that's a very common it's a common metaphor that proves to be the perfect example of that. Defragging the drive is one of about 38 steps that we do in our patented system that we do at our stores. It's about a 2 or 3 to 4 day process, depending upon how screwed up your machine is. But because so many people have the same situation you have, that is why we developed the system, so that we can make sure that it absolutely is going to run. In other words, all the evaluations are done along the way to make sure your hardware is good and that you've basically gotten rid of all those extra passengers on the boat that you don't need that are causing all the problems.
Right.
They're all screaming for a meal at the same time. They all want to use the bathroom at the same time. Get these people off the boat.
I'll remove the iceberg, huh?
Well, you got to change course. So that's what we're trying to do right
now. No, no, no. Moving the iceberg is much easier.
No. We're getting into the mountain in Muhammad now.
Yeah.
do we make any sense at all to you, Carl?
You do.
Okay.
You do. I build systems. I definitely understand what you're saying. I just never thought of it in the way that you're saying.
So, I mean, if you have a very good understanding of the Windows registry and you can work through this yourself, great. I mean, it's time or money.
Yeah.
You know, if you want somebody else to do this for you so you don't have to struggle through this, then that's what we offer to do as a business. Or anybody else that's out there, if you're not sure if you need one of these details done, that's why we offer a free checkup while you wait. If you want to see how screwed up things are, they can actually show you in various parts of the computer and show you all the places where clearly you need to have this stuff cleaned up, and that'll make...
Bottlenecks and whatnot.
Well, how long does it take for this thing to boot up now when you turn it on in the morning?
Oh, it takes not bad at all. I'm going through a router. I don't know if that makes sense. Well, that's not going through the router yet. It takes about from button push to fully booted up.
Yeah.
About a minute.
Well, that's not bad
at
all.
Not really bad, no.
Well, it could be. Again, that's why having that evaluation done while you're there is a good thing. So, Carl, we got to run. Appreciate the call. That was great. Great question, and hopefully somebody learn something from that pain.
About icebergs, if nothing else.
Yes! don't reorganize those deck chairs.
We're a little late for a break. We're going to take it. When we come back, we got our Geek Speak of the Week, our free download of the week, and, of course, more of your calls and questions at 602-277-5827.